Well, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you're located. This is Jim Conley, the Executive Marketing Manager for Anatomy and Physiology here at McGraw-Hill Education, and I am so happy to be with you guys again today. As I like to say every darn time, I just love being with you guys, and it's so much fun, especially today, because I have a repeat panelist or interviewee, I should say, on the show. We have the one and the only Michael Coate. Michael Coate, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today, Jim. I just visited my local favorite coffee shop, Bigby Coffee, here in Michigan. They're franchised all over the state, and I had a caramel marvel, and I am ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the listeners, we did a little pre-call plan here for our podcast, and Michael is just really jacked up beyond words, and I said, Michael, what's going on? And he said, I had one of these Bigby coffees. This place is great. Now, he did let on that they're not only in Michigan, where Michael's located, but they're also moving to the state of Illinois, where I'm located. So we're going to have to be on the lookout for Bigby Coffee. And I'll have to get one of those. I think I might have to get a double shot of espresso. What do you think, Michael?
Actually, knowing you, Jim, I think that might be a little too much.
Well, one of the reasons why I love having Michael on the show here is he is an awesome guy, one of my favorite people. But he is a rare person to interview because he is always thinking about the next question. And occasionally when I ask Michael a question, he'll either change it or he'll ask me back or he'll say, I think you should ask this differently. And I absolutely love that. So as a host, you have to really be on your toes when you're with Michael Coate, which is awesome. Love it. Well, here's what we're going to do, gang. We're going to talk about something that is really fun on the McGraw-Hill side. We like it a lot, and we like it because it's being so well received from the market, and it is called the Practice Atlas for Anatomy and Physiology. And we're going to talk a little bit more about like what that product is, how it came to be, Michael's role in working on it, and just all things about the laboratory and anatomy and physiology, which is why this show is going to be so much fun. But I thought, Michael, what we could do to start off for the listeners, and I think when you and I talked last time, we didn't do as good a job with this, and that's not your fault, it's mine. I'll take responsibility for that. We didn't tell the listeners what your role is here on our team. So what do you do here at McGraw-Hill on the anatomy and physiology team?
Well, Jim, I am a former instructor of human anatomy, and I joined McGraw-Hill almost 4 years ago. And my role right now is I'm the director of digital content for the life science team. So I work with all of the different groups like anatomy and physiology, biology and microbiology and nutrition in really working at the intersection of technology, content and pedagogy. So obviously with my anatomy background and also teaching anatomy and physiology at a community college level at one point as well, I do a lot of work with the anatomy and physiology product team, of which you are a member, and you know, coming up with our solutions for solving problems. And I'm really excited to talk to you about the Practice Atlas.
I'm excited too, Michael. And another thing for the audience, for you to know about Michael, he's an avid reader, and one of the things that I just get so delighted about is Michael just about every 2 weeks will send me an article from the field of anatomy and physiology or other areas and be like, hey, Jim, I think you should check into this. I think you should read it. And that's another way that, you know, Michael just adds a lot of value, not only to me as a team member, but I just want to let you know, Michael, I always appreciate when you do that. It's just so much fun, and I learn so much from you and all those articles you send along too, which is great. Okay, so question number one I want to know about so you can share with the world is, in the last year, what have you worked on that you're really excited about or you think is significant?
Well, the Practice Atlas for sure, and we're going to dive into that in just a minute. But the other thing that's been really great is I've been working with the non-majors biology product team on a theme-based courseware for non-majors biology. And basically, this is a really creative way of thinking about teaching non-majors biology. And the authoring of the new content is by Michael Windelspeck, who is one of the co-authors of a series of Mater series for McGraw-Hill. But this is a brand new kind of course where basically instead of teaching, you know, by the traditional chapter approach, that Michael Windelspecht has come up with, you know, let's teach non-majors biology through these themes, something like cancer or energy drinks, climate change, and teaching all of the biology that a student would need to know in a non-majors class, but doing it through a way that is a little bit more relevant to that student who's not a science major. So that's been a really fun project to be involved in as well.
Boy, Michael, if I could just editorialize a little bit on that. So as a fellow team member, not on that team, obviously, but just on the sidelines looking in at the work that you're doing, you mentioned Michael Windelspecht, who is just awesome. What a phenomenal author, educator, just a great steward in the biology community. Can't say enough about him. He's also got a company or a project that's called Ricochet Science that we'll probably post some things about later. We're actually, Michael, thinking about having Michael Windelspecht on the show too, which I think that would be a lot of fun. But I want to give a shout out to that team. So that team that you worked on the non-major side, we have Brittany Ross, who's amazing. You have Michelle Vogler. I think two of the most dynamic individuals that really know the non-majors field, what the challenges are and the opportunities are for instructors and for students. And I'm just so glad you talked about that project in particular, because that is a good one. And for anyone listening, if you're involved in the non-majors course, you know, we'll get you the contact info for those folks, and this is something you definitely got to check out for sure, because it is exciting, groundbreaking, and I think will really set the stage for where non-majors biology is going to go here in the future. So really glad you pointed that out, Michael. Now, Michael, because I'm a homer, you know that already, I'm an anatomy and physiology guy. The show is called Succeed in A&P, so we are obligated now to talk about the product of the year that we are just so jacked about, the Practice Atlas for Anatomy and Physiology. So for our audience, what is it, and what can you tell them about it?
All right, so the Practice Atlas for A&P is an interactive digital platform, and it has two main components. It has a study component, and in the study component, students will see two photos side by side. So imagine you're looking at your computer and you see two photos. One on the left might be a model of the heart, so a heart anatomical model. And then on the right will be a photo, a very high quality photo, of a human anatomical specimen. And those photos are actually coming from our Anatomy and Physiology Revealed virtual cadaver website, which many listeners probably are well aware of. So what happens is when a student clicks on a structure, so they click on pulmonary trunk, the pulmonary trunk will be highlighted in both the anatomical model and as well as on the photo of the heart. Or if we think of a different model, maybe something like a median and frontal section of the head model. So you can imagine a frontal section right through the head, and when the student clicks on a structure such as hard palate, that student will see the hard palate highlighted in both the anatomical model on the left and the actual human anatomical specimen photo on the right. So that's the main part of the study component. Then there's also a practice component. And the great thing about this is it really gives students true formative assessment. They now have the opportunity to see what they've learned. So we give them some time, okay, study this model and then all of its different views. And then they can go to the practice component and quiz themselves. So they'll use a drag and drop type template, where they will try to correctly label the different structures of the anatomical model. So the practice component will only have a photo of the anatomical model, but their goal then is to identify those. And the way it's built with the interactivity, they can actually kind of test themselves. So they can, let's say there's five structures and five spots, they can drop those in the little drop boxes and then check their answer and get feedback on whether each answer is correct. And they can actually do that up to seven times before they're given the correct answer. And the students seem to be really like enjoying this part of it as well. So we've done testing with nearly 400 students, just under 400 students have been this spring using the Practice Atlas in Connect and completing a student survey. And definitely one of the things the students rave about is that ability to test themselves, because they're not losing any points, right? It's ability to, okay, I did some studying, and now where do I stand? What do I know? What don't I know?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those 400 students. Really cool thing that you might not be aware of. So because of the popularity of this product, faculty in droves are saying, hey, I want to have, you know, students test this out and get their perspective. And they're being very helpful, the students are, in really shaping the future and some of the content things that we're doing. We actually just had 200 more students go in. So that's really a live number and just a lot of use, which is great. The other thing I was going to mention too, Michael, so you referred to the fact that this will be in the Connect platform. We mentioned, I think earlier, if we didn't, we were going to, that if you're a current Connect user, you can access this, you know, here for the fall. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But then this is also available through the Read Anywhere app, or will be, right, Michael?
It is, yes. So once a student or a faculty member has added the Practice Atlas course to their Connect account, that will allow them to use the Read Anywhere app. So the Read Anywhere app is a mobile app designed for both iOS and Android that's available in those respective stores right now. And essentially what it does is bring a mobile experience to whether it be the ebook or to the Practice Atlas. So the way that we actually created this Practice Atlas is utilizing some of our interactivity in our ebook platform. So that allows a student to use it in the Read Anywhere app. The great thing about the Read Anywhere app, whether it be for the Practice Atlas or for one of the McGraw-Hill A&P textbooks, is that it's truly downloadable. So the student can actually download the specific chapter, what we're calling a chapter in the Practice Atlas. So a chapter might be like study the cardiovascular system, and then it would have all of the various models where cardiovascular structures are covered. That can download to the user's device. Obviously, that's dependent upon storage limits on each person's device, no different than downloading this podcast or downloading music, but it is a truly downloadable experience. So that's great for those opportunities where students come onto campus, have a strong data connection, right, using Wi-Fi, quickly download what they need, and then can use that at home.
Yeah, and it's really cool. I'm actually using the Practice Atlas right now on my phone. I'm an Apple user, and I've got that right alongside of my Salad in A&P, and I use that a lot just to educate people on how the product looks in that app, and then just really the overall navigation and benefits of both of those products, the Practice Atlas and then Salad in A&P through the Read Anywhere app. So Read Anywhere app, it's a game changer for sure. My feature that I love on the Read Anywhere app is the Read Out Loud feature. What would yours be, Michael?
Of the specific app?
Yeah.
Just in general? I would say it would be what I think is really incredible about the Read Anywhere app is that it will actually sync across multiple devices. So as a student, you might be reading the Saladin 8th edition A&P book on your laptop, and you might take some notes using the highlight feature that exists in this platform. And then you might launch your Read Anywhere app, you know, 2 hours later when you're in between classes. It will actually prompt you to kind of migrate your changes, and everything will be up to date. So the notes that you took or the place marks that you took on your laptop will show up in the app as well, or vice versa. I think that's pretty amazing. So really the ability to use either the app or the web-based version on your laptop and then just go back and forth.
Yeah, that's great. I love that feature, too, and I forgot about that, you know, that it'll sync across the devices. So let's go back to the Practice Atlas. So when you think about a student and whether they're taking a human anatomy course, a one-semester anatomy and physiology course, or a two-semester anatomy and physiology course, Why do you think it'll help them?
Well, so where this product, where the Practice Atlas originated, the idea actually originated probably in 2014 or so. What we had heard, and people like yourself, Jim, who are out meeting so many instructors in anatomy and physiology, the common problem we were hearing was, hey, my students don't know how to make connections between anatomical models and a human anatomical specimen. And that's something that I can personally relate to during my years teaching human anatomy, was seeing students struggle with that firsthand. You might be showing them in the anatomy lab a heart and lung model, and then you actually go to the physical, you know, the real heart and lung specimen, whether it be human or a pig, and seeing them kind of struggle to find some of those same features. It's something that, as an expert, I think we maybe take for granted, right? There's a little bit of that expert bias where we kind of forget how hard it was for us as instructors to learn that. So we were hearing this, and we thought, well, let's come up with a solution, and let's do it in a digital format, right? So that, number one, it can be taken anywhere. And number two, it can be updated on the fly, right? So this really becomes an evergreen product, and that is something that is amazing. So right now the Practice Atlas is really just in prototype, and we'll, at the end we'll tell people how they can access it. But basically every week or so, we're pushing out a new model. So as a new model gets finished and it's been checked for accuracy, just a few clicks, and that goes out live. So that's pretty amazing. What that means is we're going to be able to, you know, if somebody brings some sort of content error or discrepancy to our attention, we can fix it immediately and push out that change, right? We don't have to wait for a new print publication. The other two problems that we really attempted to solve with the Practice Atlas was, we were, you know, also hearing this, hey, during lab time, my students need help identifying structures on anatomical models, right? The paper keys are gone, right? I can remember when I was teaching A&P at a community college at the beginning of my teaching career, the models were gone. The keys to the models disappeared very quickly. Never quite sure what happened to those, but they weren't always around, right? Or the numbers start to wear off of the anatomical models. So how does an instructor help their student? Obviously, they go around and do it one-to-one, but how about when the instructor can't help every student, right? So this definitely solves the problem of, I'm a student, I'm in lab, I'm looking at some anatomical models, and I can have this Practice Atlas open on my phone, on my laptop, and get some assistance in identifying structures. So I can look at it digitally and then look at it in person as well. And the other big problem is, my students have limited access to anatomical models outside of lab, right? We have lab being used from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. When are open lab hours? How does my student get to use and study the anatomical models when they're not in class? Now, I know a lot of our listeners have probably come up with creative ways that their college or university, they've put a copy of the models in the library, or they've started a resource room or a help room. And those are all great ideas, but I think ultimately not everybody has that same access, right? So maybe at your school they do, but nationwide that isn't something that everybody has access to. So I think the Practice Atlas really helps with that, because it becomes a great pre- and post-lab tool, right? It's something that if I know tomorrow, I know we're working on, you know, the muscular system, and we're going to be looking at the upper limb, I can tell my students ahead of time to go into the Practice Atlas and spend time looking at that upper limb muscular model. And then they have it as a post-lab tool. And the other thing is, you know, so many anatomy and physiology courses in this country don't have access to an anatomical specimen, right? So this is another important tool. It really bridges that gap, right? After all, we're studying a human anatomy and physiology course, as our good friend Steve Sullivan would always say. And this gives instructors and faculty who don't have access to anatomical specimens closing that gap. Okay, I know you're just studying on a model, but this is what it does look like in real life.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned something earlier. I remember you and I were talking about this, about the model numbers getting worn off the model. And it was literally just like days after you and I talked about that. I was on campus. I was having a student work through the practice atlas. And she said, oh, now I know what that is. Because on the model that she was studying, I think it was the structure number 30. I don't know if that's the left ventricle. That had clearly just rubbed off the model that she had. And she said, I had no idea really what that was for the longest time. And now just by clicking on it here in your practice atlas, I now know what it is.
Yeah.
And so it kind of annoyed her a little bit that she couldn't figure that out earlier.
Yeah, it gives a frame of reference for sure.
It's great. Now, with the model companies, for this practice atlas, what companies did you guys select primarily for featuring the practice atlas?
Yeah, so the practice atlas has a partnership with two different companies, that is 3B Scientific as well as Denoyer Geppert. So both models from both of those companies will be used in the practice atlas for anatomy and physiology. And it will be very obvious when you access the practice atlas, down at the bottom of the page will be basically the company's logo, and it'll clearly say where that model's from. So that'll be really, really helpful information for students or even faculty. If faculty members like, yeah, this is a great model, I didn't know this one existed, they'll be able to see that that's 3D or Denoyer Geppert and kind of go from there. One other thing, Jim, I wanted to talk about real quick, in terms of the problems that the Practice Atlas is solving for educators and for students. So we kind of talked about those three problems that we set off with at the beginning to set off to solve. The interesting thing that came up during testing with faculty members this spring semester has been the number of faculty that are teaching truly online anatomy and physiology courses that have said, oh my gosh, this practice atlas for anatomy and physiology is exactly what I've been looking for my online A&P course, right? Because my students in face-to-face labs are using anatomical models. How do I close this gap with my online students? So it's been great to see how we didn't even really, that wasn't really even kind of right in our vision at the beginning. And it was really cool to see how faculty identified how useful this could be for their own implementation in an online course.
Yeah, and a big shout out to the companies you mentioned, you know, 3B Scientific and Denoyer Geppert, wonderful companies to partner with. We're really thrilled of our partnership that we have with them, and really I think they are two companies that are really innovative in the space of anatomy and physiology, and you know, couldn't be happier about that partnership too. But really key point that you mentioned there, and thank you for mentioning that. So with the models themselves, so like the heart, the eye, and some of the other ones that you selected, what was the process that you guys went through to select those models?
Yeah, so this really, this was really done primarily by the subject matter experts that worked on this project, and we had subject matter experts from that came from a one semester A&P course, two-semester A&P course, and then also just a human anatomy course. So we had a nice cross-section of courses that fall under this bigger, you know, anatomy and physiology discipline. And basically, they worked together to kind of identify the models in their lab that were the most used. What were the models that were used across multiple body systems and used the most frequently? So we really, you know, really focused in on those 26 models, right? And the way this works, I didn't explain this earlier, is you take a model like a median male pelvis. right? So wherever that median male pelvis, it has structures that are going to fall in reproductive system, urinary system, digestive system, and cardiovascular system. So that model will show up in every one of the systems. So sort of the largest hierarchical structure will be study the urinary system, practice the urinary system, and then under study the urinary system, you'll see all of the different models, right? So you'll obviously see something like the median male pelvis, the female male pelvis. And then that model will also appear in every other system where it has a structure. So that's really neat, right? Wherever that model has structures that belong to a system, it will be found there. So that's kind of what we focused on, is having those subject matter experts kind of work together to prioritize models that are used quite frequently. And there's 26 models that will be covered.
That's awesome. Michael, I'm so glad you mentioned, you know, the male pelvis as the example. A lot of other systems, you know, featured or I guess impacted, if you will, you know, in that area. And I think that's such a key thing. When you look at students, and I know a lot of times with our internal teams that are looking at different products, that integration of how these systems interact with other aspects of the body is really critical. And I'm glad you guys pulled that off in the practice, Alice. It should be exciting.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Okay, so we talked about the good. Now, we always in the podcast, as you know, Michael, like to talk about some of the challenges. So with this approach, it's different. It's new. What has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced with you and like your development teams?
Well, I think that one of the biggest challenges has been that these are all brand new workflow processes because it's such an innovative product, and a little bit of that is how we're building it. We're building it in a location that we're really one of the first products in the higher education for McGraw-Hill that's using this platform where we authored the content, that there was a steep learning curve on that, right? Just sort of, okay, how are we using these interactive widgets? Which is the best interactive widget to use for the Practice Atlas, and working with instructional designers. So I worked with instructional designers that are in our Seattle office. So we actually have an entire office in Seattle of people in our digital platform group. So really people on the technology side. And it's incredible that we have experts in instructional design for digital media. So I worked with one of those people, and she really helped me kind of come up with the best way to design the template for the widgets that you see in the Practice Atlas. So that was number one. It was like this brand new process, right? And then just kind of working through how would we get, the subject matter experts to take their information and get it into the widgets and get it all through production. So really just new workflows and not knowing how long things would take, right? Really figuring it out on your own because we have a great product developer, Jody Romberg, who's working on this project. You know, she knows when we're talking about like creating Kinect content for one of our anatomy and physiology textbooks, she knows how long that takes, right? She has all of that down because that's something that she's doing every year, right? For a different edition of a new textbook. So it's kind of like, hey, this is routine. This is how long it's going to take. So that was one of the big things of this. The other thing that we are extremely proud of for the Practice Atlas is that we are trying our darndest to make this product truly accessible to meet the WCAG 2.0 AA standards. So that is a standard for accessibility. It's also very similar to like a 508. So the 508 standards were actually recently changed the Section 508 standards, and those align a lot with WCAG 2.0 AA right now as well. And we know from instructors that, and this is coming from, you know, institutions where digital products have to be accessible to a learner of all backgrounds, right? And what is really neat about the Practice Atlas is we're not having to kind of retrofit that accessibility, right? We actually started from the beginning. So the widgets that we chose them for a reason because we knew we would get them to be accessible. And it's an ongoing process, and it's not truly going to be perfect right from the start, but we do have a plan. So for example, when you get into the Practice Atlas, we're going to have alternative descriptions there. The platform itself will work with keyboard navigation. So somebody that is using a keyboard to navigate, whether that be somebody of limited sight or somebody with mobility issues, will be able to use the keyboard tab navigation to navigate through. And then alternative descriptions will also be offered for people that are using screen readers. So that has been just it's actually been very invigorating because I've kind of thrown myself into learning much more about how to make digital products accessible. And it's kind of, you know, like learning one of those new things. You realize just when you learn a little bit of it, you realize how much more you have to learn, right? That you, it's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. But that is one of the big challenges is like, okay, this is a great idea, but let's also make sure that we use good universal design so that this works for everybody that might use it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned a really quick shout out to Jody Romberg. You and I talked about how great of a job she's been doing on the product development side. And then the instructional design teams, learning experience designers, I think they're called here at McGraw-Hill, unbelievable that we could take this innovative approach and really involve them at the beginning. And if you guys haven't listened to the podcast we did with Julie Thompson from that group, she did a great talk about backward design. And it's interesting to see like a product like this really start there and really unfold. And now we're getting all sorts of opportunities where we're seeing this product evolve into online courses and different things that Michael mentioned earlier. So it's just really exciting. And I think this is really where the future of education, specifically in anatomy and physiology, but then in other areas, that's where we're going, and it should be a lot of fun. So really a shout out to you, Michael, and I like what you said about it's invigorating because it is new and different, and there's a lot there. What I'm glad you didn't mention, Michael, because I kind of threw you a softball there. You could have said the biggest challenge is my marketing people named Jim Conley keeps harassing me for when is this thing going to be done?
Well, that's just a given.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so, and I guess it's fair to point out, though, there, too, that, you know, this new innovative approach, you have to deal with the pressures of people like myself and the market getting really excited about it, and we want it sooner, but you guys have been doing a great job, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show, but you've done a good job of saying, hey, we're not going to do this, cut corners or anything like that, we're going to do it right, and you know, that means where you might have to take a little bit extra time to get the product done. So that's good. Well, on that note, before I talk about when it's going to be released, we'll hit you with two last questions here, Michael. The first of which I think it'd be really fun for our audience to hear. Of the 26 models that will be finished when it's done, what is your favorite model? Or you can even say, like, what's your favorite model that's in there right now?
Right now, my favorite model is the median and frontal section of the head, and that is a 3B scientific model. It's C13 if you're looking at your model case in your lab. It's a model that has a median section as well as a frontal section on a flat white background. And I think what's really cool about it is that a lot of people that teach A&P, even if they have a cadaver experience, haven't seen a human specimen with this similar cuts, because it is kind of a unique feature.
Okay, we're going to do something fun, Michael. And I just thought about this on the fly. I thought it'd be kind of a cool thing to do. But if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, thank you for doing so. And you can find that model in the practice atlas, so C13, like Michael had mentioned, and just take a screenshot of it, either on your computer screen or on your phone, however you're accessing it, and then you just basically email that to me. I'm at james.connelly@mheducation.com, and the first person to do so, you will get a $25 gift card for just sending that picture along. So that's your challenge there, listeners. Find C13, send that in, and we'll be on our merry way. That'd be kind of a fun thing. Don't you think, Michael?
Sounds fun.
It'll be funded by Michael Code, by the way.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, geez. I hope that that model is live. It is live. I'm looking at my list, and that model is live and actually in the Practice Atlas. So let's tell people how they can actually experience the Practice Atlas.
Excellent. Let's do it.
So if you are a current Connect user, log into your Connect account, and at the top where it says Add Course, click on Add Course, and in the search box, simply type Practice Atlas, hit return, and you will find it. Add that as a course, and then go into it just like you would in Connect. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a little kind of thumbnail of the Practice Atlas, and it'll say ebook. Click on that, and a new tab will open in your web browser. That is the Practice Atlas.
That's so awesome.
Once you've added it there in your Connect account, then you can go to the App Store or to your Google Play Store, search for the Read Anywhere app, log into the Read Anywhere app with your Connect account, and you will also see the Practice Atlas show up as soon as you've logged in, and you can see what it looks like on a mobile experience as well.
So again, remember, model C13, Michael's favorite, his personal favorite. Take a screenshot of it on your phone or through the Connect system. And if you do need access, you don't have it, you could always email me and I'll get you access. But the first person that sends that in will get a $25 gift card, courtesy of the Succeeding AP Podcast Show.
And Jim, what do they do if they're not a McGraw-Hill Connect user? They're not a current user, they don't have an account. What should they do?
Well, what they could do, you could send me an email, so james.connelly@mheducation.com, and we'll get you access. We'll work through your sales team to do so, and we'll get you all registered up so you can use this product. We also have opportunities for you to test the product with your students, so if you want to do that, just drop me a note. We'll get you all set up, and you'll be on your merry way, which will be awesome.
So, Jim, the other thing I wanted to tell people is how they're going to be able to access this in the fall for their courses. So right now, the Practice Atlas, it's still in development. We've got a bunch of models that are out there and live. So when you go ahead and add the Practice Atlas, you'll see at least, I'm just glancing at my list here. You'll see at least 12 models that are live. But what's going to happen in time for fall courses is that the Practice Atlas is going to be added as essentially an additional ebook into every single one of our textbook Connect sites that use AMP. So that's your two-semester anatomy and physiology titles, that's your one-semester anatomy and physiology, that's your one-semester human anatomy courses, and that's also your one-semester physiology textbooks. So that will be basically, you don't have to do anything. That will show up in your course. It'll be over there on the side as an additional ebook, and that will be called the Practice Atlas for Anatomy and Physiology.
That is awesome. And also, too, being a McGraw-Hill customer, if you need training on any of these products, whether it be the Practice Atlas, Anatomy and Physiology Revealed, you'll have the benefit of either working with some of our implementation teams, folks like Michael Cote, who's on the podcast today. By the way, thank you for being here today, Michael. Myself or any one of our digital faculty consultants. We've talked about a lot of stuff here, and I know you're a busy guy because you got to get back to you know, getting on all those new models and getting those in the product, right? So I know I got to let you go on that, but I want to thank you for being on the podcast. I also want to thank all of our listeners for listening to us today. Keep in mind, too, if you have a rating you want to give either on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you consume your podcasts, please do so, especially if it's a 4 or 5 star rating. That'll help other people discover us. And also, if you have show ideas, we want to hear from you. Or if you have ideas how we can improve the show, just reach out to me. I mentioned my email address a couple of times. You can find me there just about anywhere online. We want to hear from you, and we really appreciate you guys listening to this version of the Succeed in A&P. Any last thoughts you want to say to the audience, Michael, before we go?
Jim, it's been great to be back with you. Thank you.
It is, and we're going to have you back on the show. We're going to think about some other fun topics. I know you've got a lot in your toolbox that we can talk about, but thank you for talking a little bit of Practice Atlas with us today, and this will be the end of the show, and I hope you guys all have a great week. We've been publishing the show every 2 weeks, every week now here for a little while, but we're going to try to get consistent with doing it every week, so show ideas. It's Michael and Jim signing off for the Succeed in A&P show, and we hope that you guys have a great rest of your week.